Text this morning is 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's 30 verses. It doesn't take long to read 30 verses, but I've asked Brother Greg to come and to assist me again this morning and read the text from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning with verse number 1.
2 Chronicles 20, verse 1. It came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, "There cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side Syria. And behold, they be in Hazazon-Tamar, which is in Gedi." And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah they came to seek the Lord. And Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem, in the house of the Lord, before the new court, and said, "O God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? And they dwelt therein, and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, If, when evil cometh upon us, as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon, and Moab, and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not, behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. And then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaniah, the son of Jeiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the house of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, "Hearken ye, all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord unto you, Be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. And ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Jerusalem and Jerusalem, O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and of the children of the Korites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with a loud voice on high. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper." And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the armies, and to say, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever." And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. For For the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir utterly to slay and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness, they looked upon the multitude, and behold, they were dead bodies fallen to the earth, and none escaped. And when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take away the spoil of them, they found among them in abundance both riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels, which they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry away. And they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much. And on the fourth day they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore the name of the same place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. Then they returned, every man of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them, to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those countries when they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about.
Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Amen. 30 verses is the text this morning. And I kept reading through this as I had studied through this chapter. And I kept thinking, I need to cut back and read the first 10 or 12 verses. Then I thought, no, if I do that, it's going to leave out this part. So maybe I could read on down to about verse 18 or 19. And I thought, no, I can't do that because it would leave out another important part. So I wanted to get it read all the way down to verse 30, where the victory was complete. Praise God. Amen. When you read, if you're a student of the Bible, you know that 2 Chronicles, actually 1 and 2 Chronicles, are filled with revival, examples of revivals. You see all different places throughout the Chronicles, chapter 29, chapter 20, and chapter 15. Of course, we just read from chapter 20. And of course, the most famous revival verse in Chronicles is 2 Chronicles 7, 14. And the promise of revival for the people of God, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. There's this promise of revival, and there's many, many repeated examples of revival. But when you read beginning in chapter 20 here, it looks like everything except a revival. It looks like circumstances that are terrible and out of control. You see that in these first couple of verses that the children of the Ammonites, the children of the Moabites, and from Mount Seir, actually the Syrians from that region also. And they came to Jehoshaphat and gave him the bad news. And here's what, just paraphrasing it, Jehoshaphat, you've got enemies coming from every direction. You have got big problems coming from every direction. I think most Christians have experienced this in your life. You have had times where it seemed like you did not have one problem, but you had many problems. The enemy oftentimes uses that tactic to come at us from every direction to overwhelm you, to cause you to lose heart, to lose your faith, to lose your confidence in God. And we know that the enemy, one of his tactics is to overwhelm you with many, many problems. Family problems, marriage problems, financial problems, physical problems, problems on your job, problems at church, problems. All of these things, enemies of victory, enemies of revival that Satan wants to use against you and against me. And I do know that God is our victory. And many times, our victories are disguised in big problems. And we have to hold on to God in the middle of our greatest obstacles and to see that God can work and He is working even when we have, as Peter says, manifold temptations, or many, many temptations, or James, who called them divers temptations, all different kinds of temptations coming up against you. Now, whenever you are overwhelmed with a lot of different needs and problems, then the first initial reaction is fear. Fear because you don't know what to do. And Jehoshaphat confessed that. We don't know what to do. We don't know, and we do not have the strength to deal with these great forces that are coming against us. Really, one of the best things you can do is to go before God and to begin to cry out to God and start your prayer by saying, Lord, I don't know what to do. Lord, and I have exhausted my resources. I don't have the answers. I do not know what to do. But the Bible says that Jehoshaphat turned to the Lord. He set himself to seek the Lord and to call the nation of Israel to seek the Lord with their whole heart in prayer and in fasting. And their prayer was very specific. We need to take note of the prayer and then follow the pattern that's given to us here from this text. The first thing, the first basis of prayer here was who God is in verses 6 and 7. We pray about our challenges and our problems upon the, first of all, on the basis of who God is. Amen. He does not enumerate his problems. He doesn't go into any greater detail about his challenges that he was facing. But his prayer begins with, O God, our fathers, art thou not God in heaven? And rulest thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? When we go to God in prayer, when we have many, many challenging problems and obstacles in our pathway, and some of you do, we do, we're dealing with a number of different challenges. And I want you to know that there is a pattern for prayer when you find yourself backed into a corner with all kinds of adversaries. And we see it right here in the Word of God. And it begins with understanding who God is. God, this is what you are. You are the ruler of heaven. God, you are the ruler of earth. You're in control of all situations. And there is nothing that is too great for you. There is none that is able to withstand you, O God. Hallelujah. That's the God that we pray to. The God that can't be stopped. The God who has almighty power, no matter what your need or your situation is. And then he moves in, I'm talking about the pattern of Jehoshaphat's prayer. Then he moves into verses 7 and 8 there, what God has done. Most of us, if you've served the Lord any length of time, you can take a little look back and you can remember many ways that God has delivered you or he's helped you. You can go back to when he saved you and the sin that he pulled you out of. Amen. You can go back to the history of how God has worked, what he has done in the past. And that's what he does here. He talks about the fact that God, you delivered us and you brought us into this promised land. You drove out all the inhabitants of this place and you gave to us this promised land. And God, we know that you have provided for us in the past and you will provide for us now. Amen. So his prayer was, first of all, on the basis of who God is. Secondly, his prayer was on the basis of what God has done. I don't know about you, but I have a little history with God over the years. And he has not one time failed me. Hallelujah. And many of you serve the Lord longer than me. But I want you to know that God's not going to fail you. God has not forgotten where you are. You may be in the middle of some struggle, or you may have enemies coming at you from every direction. Money problems, family problems, physical problems, and it seems like you're overwhelmed with all of the things that you're dealing with. Remember who God is, and remember that God has worked in the past in your behalf. And then the third basis of his prayer was on the promise of God. And I'm going to paraphrase this because I'm not going to go back and just reread all of this. You can do that when you have the time to do it. But basically what he says is, remember when you brought us into the promised land and we built, Solomon built that glorious temple. We talked about this a few services back. He built that temple and it was dedicated. And after Solomon had prayed his prayer, the glory of the Lord fell in that place. And it was so great that the ministers could not even stand to minister in the presence of God. It was so mighty and powerful that they couldn't minister in that place. But he referred to the prayer of Solomon, that Solomon had prayed just before the glory of the Lord fell. Solomon prayed and he said, God, again, I'm paraphrasing, God, one of these days when our enemies come in against us and they want to destroy us, we're going to be able to come into this very place and call upon your name. And when we do it, when we do, you're going to hear our prayer and you're going to deliver us. And so he's reminding him of his promise. Remember what you said, Lord, and Jehoshaphat, the Bible says he is standing right there in the middle of that temple in this prayer. Read it. He's standing right in the middle of this temple and he's saying, right here in this place, years before, Solomon prayed that prayer and you confirmed it with the power and the glory of God in that place. Lord, you promised that you would not fail. And when the enemies would come against us, that you would come and you would deliver us. Praise God. Amen. We have good standing to come to God in our times of need. He's praying on the basis of who God is. He's praying on the basis of what God has done in the past. And now he's praying on the basis of God's promises and what God said he would do for his people. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Now here's the wonderful response that took place after this prayer. That after they prayed, notice it's in verse 14. A guy by the name of Jehaziel. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord fell upon Jehaziel. And he hearkened all Judah, inhabitants of Jerusalem, that they would hear him. And he began to speak. The Spirit of God fell upon this man and he began to prophesy. I can assure you that whenever you come to God with faith and confidence, and you pray on the same basis that Jehoshaphat did, that God will confirm with a supernatural revelation of his purpose and his will. Hallelujah. God has a voice. He wants to speak in these days. And sometimes he allows us to get into a crisis that we can't handle ourselves, so that we will cry out to God. And we'll turn to the Lord as Jehoshaphat did. He couldn't solve the problem. He couldn't defeat the enemy. His situation was hopeless. He was overwhelmed by the crisis. And so he cried out to God and he prayed this mighty prayer. And the Bible says the response was the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel in that place and he began to prophesy and speak to the people that day. Glory to God. I'm a Pentecostal and I believe in the manifestation of the Spirit of God. And I believe that if you'll pray and seek the Lord, I believe that as a church, if we'll bring our crisis and our needs, our burdens and those circumstances that are too big for you, if you'll bring them to the Lord, if we as a church will bind together, just as all of Judah began to cry out to God and pray together, God will answer with a supernatural answer. Hallelujah. God will confirm it with a supernatural word from the Lord, just as he did when he spoke to Jehaziel. Hallelujah. And I prayed that last night. I was here at this prayer meeting and I prayed, Lord, even if my voice is weak, that's not what is important. What's important is that your voice is heard, that the voice of the Holy Ghost is heard. Lord, let the Spirit of God speak to us, Lord, and confirm your word, Lord, and speak to the hearts of people and let them have the assurance that you're at work. It's an amazing prophecy that came from Jehaziel as he spoke that day under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. Be not afraid. Don't be dismayed by reason of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Hallelujah. It's the Lord's. Tomorrow, go you down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Ziz. You shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves. Stand you still. See the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hallelujah. Now you may say, what's the big deal on that word? That is a word from God that's so powerful. The Bible says that Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the earth because God had spoken and used a word of prophecy through this man Jehaziel and spoken to all of Israel and let them know that God has taken charge of this battle. You don't have to fight it. I'm going to fight it for you. All you have to do is take your stand. All you have to do is have confidence and believe that God is going to move in the circumstance that you are in. The battle is the Lord's. It's not your battle. I'm convinced that a lot of Christians and a lot of us right here, we weary ourselves with our struggles and our battles, trying to work out solutions, trying to make a way. And what we must do is cry out to God and believe that God can work in impossible situations to confirm his word and to give a supernatural answer when there doesn't seem to be an answer. God can speak just as he spoke through this prophetic word. Jehoshaphat bowed his face to the ground, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is what this was all about. Many times when you're in a crisis, God has allowed the crisis to come because he wants to show himself strong and he wants to give you an opportunity to glorify his name. Hallelujah. Amen. Satan gets a lot of pleasure out of your downcast face. He gets a lot of pleasure. Satan is gratified over the fact that you're down and discouraged it's obvious that you're beaten down with your worries and your trouble. Satan loves to do that with the people of God. He loves to knock the praise out of you. He loves to destroy that from you. And so when I have the vantage point up here to look across the congregation, lots of times, I see a lot of sad faces, a lot of people that I can't tell what's going on, but it's obvious that you're overwhelmed. It's obvious you've got big needs, big problems, that you're preoccupied with worries and fears and things that are in your life. And the enemy has been successful in stealing your praise and stealing your victory and bringing you to the place of hopelessness. But I want you to know your crisis is an opportunity for the name of the Lord to be glorified. Hallelujah. It's an opportunity for us to praise God, to worship God, and to break through all the despair and the hopelessness. This is one of the most glorious revival texts because God takes this overwhelming crisis from one position and turns it so drastically, change the situation that they're not in the temple crying out to God, but they wind up marching back into the temple after the victory, blowing their trumpets, singing their songs, leading a procession of worship back into that same temple where they cried out to God for help. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That's what's ahead for the people of God. That's what's ahead for you and for me. Whenever we begin to see the hand of God bringing deliverance, whenever we see God answering prayer, working miracles, and changing the circumstances that you're up against, God is going to prove himself in your behalf if you'll just trust the Lord. You notice in verse 20, it says that they rose up early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness to face this enemy. Just before that prophetic word, they would have been fearful to face this enemy, but now they have a word from God and they have a confidence. They've got up early to go to this battle because they know that God has already taken charge of it. He has already taken this battle into his own hands, and you're not going to have to fight it. God is going to bring about the deliverance, and he's going to bring about a victory in your life. So what does Jehoshaphat do? He understands that what the enemy wanted to do is to destroy the people of God, the worshipers at Jerusalem. He wanted to destroy their hope and their confidence. So the Bible says that he consulted the people. He appointed singers unto the Lord that they should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. When they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. The word just meant traps. Traps or snares. And so I believe that he just sent a great host of angels into the presence of that battle to set traps for them and to confuse them. You want to confuse the devil? You start worshiping the Lord in the big middle of your crisis. And he's going to step back and say, what's going on here? I had them beaten down and cowed down and destroyed them. I just about had them completely wiped out. And what's going on here? That church is praising God. They're going up against some big enemies, and I have unloaded on them from the east and the west and the north and the south. But that Satan is not realizing what that he wanted to see happen. And that was your defeat and the loss of your victory. He wants to steal from you and from me, from every one of us and from the people of God. And a good way to confuse the devil is to worship God in the middle of your trial. Amen. I purposed in my heart in this service today as I was going through this text, Lord, if I get down to a whisper, I'm going to give it all I got this morning to praise your holy name. Hallelujah. To lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. To worship the name of Jesus in the midst of this place and expect that he's going to visit us with a divine outpouring of his spirit. And we're going to realize the power of God and the presence of God in a wonderful way. Hallelujah. When they began to sing, then the Lord sent ambushments. He confused them. You know what the text says. It says that they began to fight against Mount Seir, and then they fought against each other. He confused them that they didn't even know who they were fighting against. They destroyed themselves, and all that Jehoshaphat and all of his armies and singers are doing are just standing still. And when they look over the mountain and into the valley, all they see is a valley full of dead bodies. They haven't even fought one. They haven't used a sword. They haven't even marched into battle yet, because God had already marched into that battle, had taken charge of that battle and won the victory for them. Hallelujah. It took them 3 days to gather the spoil as they went down to take of the wealth and the riches and all the benefits that was coming to them because of that great victory. Verse 26, it says, and on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Berakah, for there they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that place was called the Valley of Berakah unto this day. The word just means prosperous or blessed. That God turned the worst circumstance around and made it into the greatest victory that they had ever witnessed as they walked away from that thing and that experience, praising God with more wealth and riches and blessings than they could have ever imagined. the very things that they thought were going to be their defeat turned around to be their victory and their blessing and their prosperity. Glory to God. The Bible says that they march back to Jerusalem and they go into the temple singing the praises of God. They returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy. For the Lord hath made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of those in the countries when they heard that the Lord had fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Your crisis is important. And your reaction and response to your crisis is very important. How you respond, how you turn this thing over to God, how you pray, and how you trust God to fight the battle for you. Praise God. I know that there are many needs in our nation, many needs in our community, a great need for a move of God. But there will be no revival outpouring from a church that's beaten down, cowed down, hopeless, defeated within our own circumstances. Satan has attacked you. He's attacked me. He's attacking different ones around us here. And I hear from different ones of you. And you're having challenges and problems, big, overwhelming circumstances. Some of them I'm sure I haven't even heard about because they're personal and just things that you're dealing with. But I want you to know that as a church, we need to get together and we need to cry out to God. Hallelujah. We need to cry out to the Lord and we need to believe God. We've not done this much in a while, but I want us this morning, if you would stand with me. And I would like to ask everybody in this building, if you would you come standing and stand right here at this altar with me, if we can, in one unified force. Let's take a few minutes before we leave this service, and let's cry out to God. Hallelujah. Amen. If you have the strength physically to get down here, then come here to this altar. Amen. I think as a united force here in the church, as we come together, we can cry out to God. Jehoshaphat prayed, and he prayed on the basis of who God is. He prayed on the basis of what God has done in the past, and then on the basis of the promise of God. And as we pray that kind of a prayer, we can expect God to prove himself, to speak to us, and to pour out his Spirit upon his people and upon the church. Would you gather in, everybody, around this altar, and let's cry out to God together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Jesus. 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 We know, God, that you're working. We know that you are speaking, Lord. And God, we ask that you would minister mightily among us. Lord, we thank you. We know, God, you're in charge of all situations. No matter what the enemy is trying to do, Lord, we thank you for victory. We praise you today, God, because we know, God, that you have in the past and you have promised to show yourself strong in behalf of your people. Hallelujah.